You would open your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. That would be the first passage we're going to look at this morning. We are involved in a series titled Seeking the Lost. We're looking at the subject of personal evangelism and the efforts that we must be putting forward as individuals to try to save those around about us who are lost and dying in sin. Before we get into some of the how-to studies, we're going to begin by looking at ourselves, focusing on ourselves. And with that in mind, I want us to consider with our study this morning something that all of us can do regarding evangelism, regarding saving those who are lost. Every one of us as Christians can pray. We can pray about evangelism. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at five different things that we should be praying for every day as we are focused on and we are involved in the effort of seeking and saving those who are lost. We talked about the fact that we are to be concerned about those who were lost, that we need to have compassion for the lost, and that we need to have the anatomy of a soul winner. Now I want us to look at the subject of prayer. We need to be praying for a great number of things, but the Scriptures teach we can also be praying for lost souls. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends the 70 out on a limited commission. He's already sent the 12, and he has yet to send the apostles on the Great Commission, but Luke records the 70 being sent out. Verses 2 and 3, then he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves." The 70 were sent on their way. They were to go out and proclaim that the kingdom of heaven was nigh. But before they were told to go, what were they told to do? They were told to pray. Before they went, before they were to go, they were to pray. And there's a pattern there. And I want us to notice that pattern. We are to go in our efforts to save those who are lost. We are to go, but before we go, we need to pray. We won't turn and look, but we've studied in the past James chapter 5, verse 16. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We know that there is power in prayer. That if we're praying from a righteous heart, sincere heart, and if we're praying according to God's will, we know that prayer accomplishes things. Well, let's harness that power that we have in prayer. Let's harness it and use it in our efforts to seek and save those who are lost. So how can prayer help us in evangelism? How can prayer help us in seeking and saving the lost? What do we need to be praying for? Five things I want us to look at. First, from our text, we need to be praying for laborers. This isn't the only time that Jesus laments the fact that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We need people laboring in the harvest. That was true 2,000 years ago. The population of this world has only gotten bigger. So the need is even greater now. We need laborers in the field, laboring for the harvest for lost souls. But how does praying, think about this. We're talking about personal evangelism. We're talking about you and I putting forth our personal efforts to seek and save the lost. How does me praying for someone else to be a laborer for lost souls, how does that help me? Let's think about that for just a moment. Well, for one, it reminds us that saving lost souls requires work. Jesus says laborers are needed, not spectators, not cheerleaders. Laborers are needed. So that reminds us, if we pray for laborers, that reminds us that it's going to take work, it's going to take effort. We need to, after we're finished praying, we need to get up and do something. So praying for laborers reminds us that labor is involved. Secondly, it keeps the matter of evangelism ever before us. We pray about the things that we remember to pray about, don't we? We pray about the things that are on our hearts and on our minds. We don't pray by rote. We don't teach our children and have them memorize prayers that they recite for the rest of their lives mindlessly. No, we pray about things that are on our hearts. We thank God for our food every day. Well, food's on our mind every day. mine at least three times a day. We pray for our loved ones every day. Why? Because they're on our minds. If we get in the habit of praying for laborers to enter the harvest and praying for evangelism, that's going to keep that on our mind. And if it's on our mind, then we're going to be more apt to see the opportunities that we have and to remember the importance of taking advantage of those opportunities. So praying for it keeps it before our minds. Praying for it reminds us also that we are involved in a worthy act. If it's worth praying about, it's important, and it's worth doing. And then finally, praying for laborers calls upon us to enlist as many people as we can in this important work. Think about it this way. When we're talking about personal work, we're talking about seeking and saving the lost. Not only do we need to be looking for those who are lost and doing what we can to encourage them to be saved, don't we also need to be looking at other Christians and encouraging them to do the same? So as we're praying for laborers, we need to be mindful of and encouraging other Christians to be involved in this good work. Jesus meant for these 70 individuals to be the answer to their own prayer. Pray for laborers to enter into the harvest. Now go. And they were to be the answer to that prayer. There's no point in you and I praying for laborers unless we're willing to go ourselves as well. But we need to be praying for laborers. Instead of praying that the church at Knollwood will grow, I've got to tell you, I do that all the time. I hope that you do as well. We pray that the church here will grow, and we start off perhaps with a more noble request. We pray that we'll grow in love. We pray that we'll grow in knowledge of God's will. But, of course, we're praying also that we'll grow in number. Instead of praying that the church would grow, why don't we pray that we will all do the work necessary to help the church grow? Be a little more specific in that prayer. Pray for laborers. Pray for those who will do this work of helping to save the lost. Secondly, if we're interested in the spread of the gospel, the scriptures teach that we need to pray for peace in our community, in our country, and in our world, to allow for the swift spread of the gospel. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority. And it's pray for those who are leaders. Pray for those who are leading peoples, leading nations. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We enjoy living in peace. We need to pray for that. But as you continue reading, being able to live a life of peace so that you're free to do whatever it is that you want to do is not the end result. You keep reading, you see what the end result is. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants everyone to be saved. How shall they be saved unless they hear? How shall they hear unless someone tells them? We pray for peace so that we can be undistracted and we can be fully devoted to the work of evangelism, spreading the gospel. I don't mean to be insensitive, but how much evangelism do you think is happening in the Ukraine right now? They are in survival mode right now. Now, maybe hearts are being opened. Maybe people are being baptized into Christ right now because an enemy has come into their land and is attacking them. Maybe. But chances are, they're fighting for their survival right now. Imagine if that was happening here. How much time and energy would we have to seeking and saving those who were lost? Not a lot. So let's be thankful for what we have, and let's take advantage of what we have, and let's pray that it will continue. So pray for peace. Pray for peace so that the obstacles are gone, and you and I can devote our full time and attention to spreading the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have the faith. As you're working with someone and trying to bring them to salvation, they may have a friend, a relative, a loved one who is battling against you. Well, don't listen to them. They're from the Church of Christ. They're a bunch of Campbellites over there. Well, that's a cult. What do you have? You have opposition there. You have a wicked and unreasonable person that's putting up an obstacle. Pray for that removal. The best way to remove is to convert them too. But pray that that hindrance would be removed so that the gospel can be spread, so that you can teach and you can influence and you can encourage as many people as possible. But as you turn to Acts chapter 8, I want to remind you that absence of peace is not an excuse not to be involved in the work of evangelism. The gospel spreads even during times of turmoil. In Acts chapter 8, we read of the beginning of persecution against the church. Acts chapter 8, now this is right after Stephen has been martyred. He is the first Christian martyr. He's been killed for his faith. Verse 1 says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere and kept quiet and didn't tell anybody about the gospel, lest they be persecuted." No. What did they do? They went everywhere preaching the word, speaking the word. The gospel spread, the church grew. The gospel is designed by God to be successful, to find good and honest hearts, and to grow in times of peace and in times of turmoil. It doesn't matter. There's no excuse for us not to be involved in the work ever. But we're told to pray for peace. Pray for peace, pray for favorable circumstances so that we can devote ourselves to this work of saving lost souls. Third, pray for opportunities to teach others. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. When we got started with this series a couple of weeks ago, I reminded you that we're going to be looking at a number of passages a number of times. And we've already looked at Colossians 4, and we're going to look at it again here as we consider the subject of prayer and the role that prayer plays in evangelism. I remind you that Colossians is one of the four prison epistles in the New Testament. That is, it's one of the four letters that Paul wrote while he was a prisoner in Rome. Notice he says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that we would be released from prison." No, that's not what he said. "Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Instead of asking them to pray earnestly that he'd be released, he asked them to pray earnestly that doors would be opened for him to share the gospel with others. And this figure of an open door, it's found a number of times in the Bible where it represents an opportunity. And I hope that we can make application of this as we're thinking about individuals that we'd like to see saved. Perhaps you've got a loved one, you've got a friend, and you've been talking to them, inviting them, and so far all you've found is a closed door. They're just not interested. They're not interested right now. What they need is for the door of their heart to open. And prayer can do that. Prayer can do that. Prayer can help that happen. So pray that these individuals would have open hearts. Pray for those open doors of opportunity. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus writes a letter, sends a message to the church in Philadelphia. Now, if you remember Revelation chapters 2 and 3, there are seven churches in Asia that are addressed. Five of them are told to repent. Five of them, there are things they need to correct, but there are two that are not. One of them is Philadelphia. The church in Philadelphia only receives praise and encouragement. Paul writes, tells them, Jesus speaks to them, John writes, sends the Lord's message to them, Revelation chapter 3 and at verse 8, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Historians tell us that the city of Philadelphia was established by the Roman Empire or used by the Roman Empire as a missionary city. They weren't interested in missionary work spreading the gospel. They were interested in spreading the Roman way of life. It was on a highway that went on further to the east, and they were interested in using that city as a way of moving and perpetuating, spreading the influence of Rome further. So here's a city that has been built specifically to spread a way of life. And Jesus writes to his people in that city and says, you know, you've got an open door. You've got an opportunity that none of the other churches there in Asia Minor have right now. Use it. You're at peace. You're not suffering like the church in Smyrna. Use it. Use that open door. What do we have here in the Dayton area? Sometimes we get so busy with our daily lives, we lose sight of what we have here. We are really a crossroads city. I-70 and I-75 converge right here. I don't know if you realize it or not, but there are more colleges, university schools right here in the Dayton area than in many places in the country. So a lot of people are coming here as students. We've got the Air Force Base. That brings some people to us, and sometimes they even come back. We've got a lot of opportunities right here. We've got an open door. Let's be using it. So pray for these open doors. We've got a lot of opportunities sitting right here in our lap. Let's pray that these doors will open. Let's pray for individuals. Pray these doors will open, and pray that we will have the courage to walk through those doors and take advantage of those opportunities. In Acts chapter 19, I like to use this verse also with this point. Acts chapter 19, this is when Paul, he's on his third missionary journey, and he's come back to the city of Ephesus. The first time he was just passing through, left Aquila and Priscilla there, and that's where they converted Apollos. But now Paul has come back, and he's staying there and working there. Acts 19 verse 10 says, and this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. During the 2 years that Paul was there in Ephesus, everyone in Asia Minor heard the word of God. Some directly from Paul, some from others that learned from Paul. The church in Colossae likely was established during these 2 years. The church in Philadelphia likely was established during these 2 years. How far can the gospel spread from Knollwood? How far can the gospel spread from Dayton, Ohio? Let's pray for an open door. Let's pray for opportunities. And let's pray for the courage to take advantage of those opportunities. Here's something else we need to be praying for. We need to be praying for the salvation of specific individuals. Now we pray that we want the church to grow. We pray that souls would be saved. But I want to challenge you is to make a list and pray for specific individuals. Now, I've got Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 here on the slide. We know that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was sent by the Lord specifically to the Gentiles, but Paul was a Jew. He was born and raised as a Jew. Did he forget about his Jewish relatives and kinsmen? No. Although he was laboring among the Gentiles, he says, Romans 10 verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. He was praying for his family there. He's praying for his friends there, his kinsmen there. He was praying for the salvation of individuals. We all have family and friends that are lost and that need to hear the gospel and obey the gospel or need to be restored. They're unfaithful and they need to be restored. And that's evangelism too. That's saving lost souls. Let's be praying for those individuals, but I want to challenge you. Make a list. Write down the names of individuals that need to be saved. Make that list. You can make it on your phone, on your tablet. You can pull out a piece of paper, write them down, put it in your Bible, put it in your wallet, put it in your purse. Pull it out every day and pray for those individuals. And then, using the model from Luke chapter 10, go and do something about it. Pray for them and then do something to bring about their salvation. But make that list. Things happen when you write down a list. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's so special about putting ink to paper. But things happen when you make a list. Make a list of people and pray for those people and then act on that. Then finally, I see in Acts chapter 4 that we would do well to pray for boldness. Acts chapter 4, here the apostles are meeting opposition for the first time. I said persecution begins in chapter 8, and it does. But opposition has already started. The apostles, Peter and John, have been arrested, and they've been threatened by the Sanhedrin, do not preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And what do? As soon as they are released, they go to the other apostles, they report to them what has happened, and immediately they begin to pray. And in that prayer, look at verse 29. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. And God answered that prayer, and they kept right on preaching. The opposition continued, but they had the courage, the boldness that they needed to continue that work of preaching the gospel. I've got an entire lesson planned a little further down the road on overcoming fear in evangelism. So we're going to talk about that in more detail, but I'm going to include this point here as we're talking about prayer. Pray about this matter. If you are an introvert, if the idea of going up and talking with someone about religious subjects or inviting someone to come to services with you, if that terrifies you, pray about that. Pray for courage. Pray for boldness. Pray that you'll come out of your shell, that you'll step out of your comfort zone for lost souls. Pray for boldness. We all need to be, to one extent or another, we all need to be praying that prayer. Prayer should be an important part of our everyday lives. But I've reminded you and myself this morning that prayer has a role to play in evangelism. It's a very powerful thing that God has given us. Let's not abandon it when it comes to seeking and saving the lost. Let's embrace it. Let's use it. A very effective and powerful tool. Let's be praying for these different things that we've studied about this morning. And then, as the pattern is, let's pray. We can all pray. But then, let's go. When we're finished praying, let's get up and let's labor. Let's get to work. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you've given us the avenue of prayer and that we can approach you as your children in faith, knowing that you hear us and that you will answer all of our needs and all of our request according to your will and the riches of your grace. We pray that you would help us to be more focused and more determined in seeking and saving those who are lost, that we would be involved in the effort of laboring for lost souls, that we would look for and take advantage of opportunities around about us, that we'd be mindful of specific individuals who need salvation, and that you would give us boldness and courage taking advantage of these opportunities. Bless us as we continue to study this subject, and bless us with opportunities to share your gospel with those who are lost. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You're dismissed to your classes.